Welcome to our midweek podcast for the 2nd of December. Today we're in Exodus chapter 18. I'm going to start reading from verse 1. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now jumping to verse 5. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they'd met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. You'll probably be familiar with the basic biographic details of Moses' life, starting with his birth to Hebrew parents in Egypt, at a time when the Hebrew nation had become a slave labour force in that country. The screws were tightened with the order that every Hebrew boy was to be killed at birth. Famously, Moses survived through his mother hiding him in a basket in the Nile, which was discovered by one of Pharaoh's daughters, who took pity on him and had him brought up in Pharaoh's court. Then a failed attempt by Moses as a young man seeking to stand up for justice for his people led to him fleeing from Egypt into the Arabian Peninsula. There, an apparently chance meeting with the daughter of a pagan priest at a well led to him marrying the said daughter and to being employed as a shepherd by the said priest, Jethro. Some years later, Moses comes with Jethro's flock to the foothills of Mount Sinai, where he has this strange encounter with the Lord God, speaking out of a bush that seems to be on fire. The Lord identifies himself as the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and tells Moses that he is to go and rescue God's people from Egypt and bring them to this very mountain to worship the Lord. Moses proves to be a somewhat reluctant leader of God's people. Nevertheless, Exodus chapter 18 finds him back at this mountain, having completed his assignment, not in his own strength, but by God's mighty hand. Through the 10 plagues and the dramatic crossing of the Red Sea, the Israelites are finally liberated from Egyptian power. But today I want us to focus not on the story of Moses, but of Jethro, this man who was brought from worshipping pagan deities to being a worshipper of the one true living God and being welcomed into the fellowship of God's people. Each time Jethro is introduced in Exodus, we are told that he was the priest of Midian, a title indicating he was one of the leading religious officials of that people group, if not the chief. Although descended from Abraham, Midianites were not worshippers of the God of Abraham. Like most nations, they probably had many gods to try and stay on the right side of. But Jethro has these close family ties to the Israelites. It seems that Moses had sent his wife Zipporah and their two sons back to Jethro for safety whilst he was on this rescue mission. And now Jethro has heard that the mission is accomplished, and Moses is back in the vicinity, he is keen that the family be reunited again. So, verse 8, Jethro gets to hear firsthand about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they'd met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. What a thrilling and heart-rending story to hear. We all like to hear a good adventure story with a happy ending, don't we? Even if we're perhaps glad that we're not having to live through those adventures ourselves. But this true story mounts a serious challenge to the belief system of a pagan priest who has perhaps been struggling to balance the conflicting demands of the various gods he was trying to serve. I'm guessing that Moses would have told Jethro of the Lord's words to Moses announcing the 10th and final plague. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. This wasn't just a conflict between Moses and Pharaoh, not even just a conflict between Israel and Egypt. This was a conflict in the heavenly realms between the Lord, the one true God, and all the gods of Egypt. Egypt was the superpower of the day and therefore assumed to have the most powerful gods. If the Lord is able to crush all their gods in one blow, what hope was there for Midian gods? Jethro is compelled to acknowledge that in the Lord he's found the source of real power. So, verse 11, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Yet wonderfully, he acknowledges this very winningly. Verse 9 tells us he was delighted to hear all that the Lord had done for his people. Surely this shows that the Holy Spirit was at work in his heart, convicting him of this truth about the Lord and enabling him to see that what the Lord does is good. Verse 10 has him bursting out in praise to God. This is a change of heart, mind and attitude. This is surely conversion. And there's more. Jethro wants to show how wholehearted he is in his newfound devotion to the Lord by giving something back, a sacrifice. In fact, several sacrifices, it seems, according to verse 12. But perhaps the burnt offering particularly illustrates his devotion to the Lord. This total giving up of a whole animal in a burnt offering was to become a key sign of dedication to the Lord in Israelite worship. Jethro is welcomed by God as one of his people and able to enjoy communion with God and his people in this fellowship meal described at the end of verse 12. Well, isn't it thrilling to see this man Jethro coming from a background in a pagan culture to know the one true living God and to be counted as one of his people? It's worth noting how it happened. It happened through family connections, and it happened through Moses faithfully telling what God had done. Have another look at verse 8. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done for Israel's sake and how the Lord had saved them. Of course, it was entirely dependent on the Lord being at work, not just in arranging the external circumstances of Moses' encounters with Jethro, but in his softening of Jethro's heart to enable him to believe. I hope Jethro's story will encourage us as we think about those dear to us who are not yet trusting in Jesus, and perhaps particularly so as Christmas approaches. The Lord has brought us together with those we specially care about. He has caused our paths to cross in some way. With Jethro, Moses simply told the story. The Lord did the rest. In Jesus, we have an even greater story to tell of God's rescue. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord gave us an opportunity to tell even something of how Jesus had rescued us to a Jethro, to someone we love who isn't yet a believer, but is keen to hear? Now, if like me, you're thinking, Yes, but none of my unbelieving friends and family seem remotely interested in Jesus. Then surely we must pray that the Lord would make them ready, ready to hear of Jesus' rescue. After all, that's what Advent is about, isn't it? Getting ready for Jesus. Well, let's pray that he will do that now. Father, thank you that Jethro heard of your great rescue, renounced his pagan past, and put his hope in you. We pray for those who are dear to us, who haven't yet acknowledged you as the Lord. Some of these we've prayed for many times and for years and years, and yet they can seem as far from you as ever. Sometimes we've felt exhausted and exasperated in our praying for them. Please, Lord, soften their hearts and make them ready to hear of Jesus' rescue, and through hearing to receive Jesus for themselves. And Lord, we want to offer ourselves to be used in this great work of telling the story of Jesus to those who really want to know. Please equip us for this task and give us opportunities with a Jethro, whether that is in telling our own story of what you have done for us, or showing them the story in the scriptures, or encouraging them to come and hear the preaching of this good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for listening today. It's good to feast on God's word. And do remember, we're back to COVID normal services in church this Sunday, both morning and evening. And it'll be great if you can make it to one of those. But don't forget to book in.